So today is the last in our series on Hebrews 11. We actually begun this series. Julian spoke on the 1st of March last year. So that's 11 months we've been in Hebrews 11. Very appropriate. It's also coincided with obviously quite a dramatic time, really. And so it's very appropriate that we've been talking about faith in a time where we've all been really challenged, I think, in all sorts of different ways as to our walk with God and keeping strong in our faith, and at times where we've been frustrated and not being able to meet together, and in all sorts of different ways. The message of faith has been so key during that time. Julian, when he started 11 months ago, spoke on what faith was. And I actually had the second in the series where I talked about how faith was vital, not realizing quite how appropriate that was in what we were about to face just a matter of weeks after I spoke on that. I'm going to share my screen now because I have a PowerPoint that has various visuals. In Hebrews 11, having written about the heroes of faith, this is how the writer finishes Hebrews 11. And then goes into Hebrews 12. And if you remember, when this was originally written, it wouldn't have been with all these numbers in. It would have been a continuous conversation, continuous letter. So verse 39 says, "And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." Chapter 12 then begins, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And so, having written about these heroes of faith, the writer then explains why he has written about these people. At the end of chapter 11, he has said that the story isn't complete because we are part of that story. And actually, what he's doing in Hebrews 11 is he's setting the scene to encourage us to go on trusting God and living by faith. And so he's setting out how in chapter 11, the story of all these that have gone before that are now like a cloud of witnesses with us, or watching on, or cheering on. We'll come on to that in a moment. So in the past, I think when I've thought about this, I've almost imagined that cloud of witnesses as almost being like there to judge and to sort of look how we're getting on. But I don't think that's quite how it is, because I think that crowd is much more a crowd that is cheering us on, that is doing all they can to encourage us. The picture that the writer has given is that actually we can take all these people as an inspiration and an encouragement of how God is wanting us to move on. And as any of us that enjoy watching sport have discovered over these last 11 months, a crowd makes a massive difference. And it, practically every time you watch a professional football match at the moment, somebody at some point during the summarising will say about what a difference it made that there wasn't a crowd, and how a crowd had made a difference to that game. And so that sort of having that crowd to encourage and spur on makes a big difference. It gives life and energy to the match. And I think that can be true for us, as we know that there is a cloud of witnesses around us that gives us encouragement. But as I've mentioned, they're witnesses, not just supporters. So their lives are an example of those who are faithful, trusting God. They show us that we can live out our calling, and God will not let us down, and he will let us win and keep running to the end. So the crowd are cheering us on are those who have faithfully lived for God, Yes, they made mistakes, and that's an important thing that's come out as we've been teaching through this series, is the fact that these were people who were far from perfect, just as we are far from perfect, and yet they still ran their race faithfully, and it was recorded that they ran faithfully, and so it can be for us as well. But as I was thinking through this, the rest of the family have been really helpful and have put in a lot of work as well in the preparation, probably as much as I have in the preparation for today, as you'll find out as we continue. But one of the things that I think Julia said to me was how important it is that this crowd of witnesses isn't just the people that it talked about in Hebrews 11, but actually it's the church as well. So we ourselves, as well as being cheered on by this crowd, we are part of the crowd as well, cheering on others in the church. And that's a really important thing, that actually we take encouragement from the stories that we read about in Hebrews 11, but also the stories that we tell each other as well, and the encouragement and the support that we give to each other. After I've spoken, we're going to have breakout rooms. There aren't any sort of specifically children ones, but I think it'll be sort of appropriate for children to join in with ones with their parents as well. And I think they can play their part as well. But there'll be a chance during those breakout rooms for us to talk to each other and encourage one another and spur one another on. And so that's going to come at the end, and so you can be thinking about that a bit as I'm talking, and thinking about things that perhaps you can either that you need for your encouragement, or perhaps that you can think of that will encourage others. So in Hebrews 12, it talks about us running the race, and this is where we join the story, because he's talked about the cloud of witnesses, and then he tells us that actually we're the ones now to run the race, and so we're part of the story. And the Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, he wrote in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought the fight, I have run the race, I have kept the faith. So we join the story by running the race that is set before us. So we are surrounded by that cloud of witnesses. And I believe when it talks about running a race, I think sometimes we can the metaphor is helpful of running a race, but actually if you take it too far, it becomes unhelpful, because it almost makes it seem much more of an event that perhaps you're training for, or an event that happens once every 4 years like the Olympics. But actually this race that we are to run is actually from the moment that we give our lives to Jesus to the end of our lives, that whole period, and we're in middle part of it, or we're near the beginning, or we're perhaps getting towards the end. But wherever we are currently running the race, and we need to consider that and to consider how we can run well and run strongly to the end. And so it's not a physical race in that sense, but we need to be determined to commit to the race and not just let things happen, but actually be determined in our wanting to do well in this race. I'd like to show you something that will help us focus our minds. So we're talking about running our race.
In 1992, when the Olympics were held in Barcelona, Spain, the world saw one of the greatest moments in Olympic history. Derek Redmond, a man from Britain, had dreamed all his life of winning a gold medal in the 400-meter race. He had worked hard to get to the Olympics, and he was in the semi-finals running the race of his life. Up to full speed down the back straight, he suddenly felt a sharp pain at the back of his leg. He fell to the track with a torn muscle in his right leg. The other athletes kept going and finished the race. Breaking away from the medical attendant, Derek struggled to his feet and tried to hop to the finish line on one foot. Suddenly, a man came out of the stands and pushed aside a security guard, and he ran to Derek's side. It was Jim Redmond, Derek's father. "You don't have to do this," he told his son. "Your Yes, I do, said Derek. Well then, said his father, we're going to do this together. Together, they walked to the finish line, determined to complete the race despite the officials trying to make them stop. The crowd watched and cheered them on every step of the way. Now, Derek Redmond didn't win the gold medal, but he walked away with the incredible memory of a loving father who, when he saw his son in pain, left his seat in the stands to help him finish the race and shooed away the people who tried to get in the way.
In that example, of course, he was running like an athlete, and he, like I said, that was a specific race, but he was encouraged on, and he didn't come first in his race, but he did finish, and that was his determination to finish, encouraged by his father in that case, and shown great commitment both on his part and that of his father. And so we too also are encouraged on and cheered on by those around us. If you think actually the idea of sort of running, and you might feel that that just sounds like hard work, how can I keep going till the end? Well, the writer to Hebrews gives some important instructions to us to help us to do that. And first of all, he tells us to don't carry unnecessary weight. He says, lay aside every weight and the sin that traps us. So weight means really anything that distracts us, anything that will make running harder. And if you can imagine, if you're carrying whatever sort of weight or trying to pull something heavy, that makes actually running much harder. And there will be things in our lives that, as you can see, I'll put some examples of what some of those things might be, possibly a fear of failing, possibly a not wanting to look silly. Maybe we've been hurt in the past, we've tried things in the past, and we've ended up hurt or disappointed, and or we've been let down by people, or we have this, like we all do, we all want to be liked by people, but that can become a weight that stops us from running. And or maybe we want to fit in, we don't want to stand out from the crowd, where sometimes to keep running, to keep living the life of Jesus, then we do sometimes just stand out as different. And or maybe it's because we're jealous of what other people have and we want those things, but the desire for those things begin to distract us. I want to show you now a little fun video that was recorded earlier.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning and welcome to our science report. Unfortunately, due to COVID-19 restrictions, we were unable to film Russell Wood, a science teacher, who is currently residing in a different council area. I've just been interrupted to say that actually biology is not a real science anyway. We were also unable to film Professor Christopherson from Comrie Croft because there is an amber weather warning and Tayside Police advised us not to travel to Comrie this morning. So here we are. Oh, and also we could have filmed Professor Newton, who is actually a real professor, but he lives in Dundee. Instead, we're able to bring you a science report from out here in the snow in Perth and Professor Jakobski, good morning Professor, who we have been able to film in a COVID secure way with all appropriate mitigation. Good morning again, Professor. As you can see, all necessary and in some ways slightly over the top health and safety precautions have been taken by Professor Jakobski in preparation for his experiment this morning. In fact, he has so much PPE that he can't actually speak clearly, but he explained to me earlier what he was going to do so I can help talk you through things as they happen. So, today's experiment involves a clementine and some water. What, may you ask, does this have to do with Hebrews 12, which we were previously hearing about? Well, that is what to get a clementine. Let's have a close-up of the clementine. A clementine to race to the bottom of the water, to the finish line at the bottom. However, Professor Joukowsky has discovered a problem which he is about to demonstrate. And at this point, I must also put on the safety goggles, because we really don't know what could happen, what kind of explosive forces we're dealing with here. So, and I'll just take a little step back. Are you happy to proceed, Professor? Have we met all the conditions that were necessary? So, Professor is going to put the clement in to see if it will race to the bottom. Well, oh dear, as you can see, this is in fact the problem. When you put a clementine in the water, it doesn't, as we're all hoping, race to the bottom. It does in fact float. Oh dear. No chance of winning the race for this little orange. Fortunately for us though, Professor Joukowsky has been working at home this week and has been able to give a lot of time and thought to this problem. Finally, after many hours' work and sleepless nights, he discovered that if you peel the clementine, the results were dramatically different. Oh dear, the professor doesn't seem to be able to peel the clementine. I'll have to help. I need to put my microphone down at this point, so I hope you'll still be able to hear me. I'll have to remove my glove. Peeling the clementine in the snow. Okay. Oh, it's so cold. I'll just put it down there, Professor, so you can pick it up again. Go on then, go for it, Professor. Oh, go for it, Professor. And his week's work has paid off. As you can see, the clementine has now raced to the bottom, to the finish line. Well done, Professor. You've really made a big breakthrough this week. Now,
following a technical issue, we now continue with our video. 3, 2, 1.
Now, here's the really clever thing, and where the Professor made his really big breakthrough. Here's where the clementine is a bit like what we were reading in Hebrews 12 and a bit like you and me. It's a bit like us when we become friends and followers of Jesus and we start to run the race or live our lives for him. Soon we find that things start holding us back and make it difficult for us to run straight to the finish line. Things like some of the things that are written, excuse me while I move my glasses, on this clementine. Sometimes you might feel jealous of other people's skills and talents or the things that they have or the way that their lives have turned out. Sometimes we might feel full of fear about if we step out for God, what might happen or will he let us down. Sometimes we might just want to be popular. We might want people to like us. So instead of maybe being kind to someone at school who doesn't have any friends, actually we turn our back on them and be mean. All of these things can hold us back from running the race. Professor, would you like to see if that orange will float? The thing, sorry. Similarly to the other one, it's not running its race to the bottom. It's hindered by the things on the outside. So I think I'll just try putting the microphone down again. So here we go. I'm peeling off. I'm getting rid of all those things that stop us from running the race well. There they are. I've shed them. So, Professor, I'm going to take a step back. Let's see what happens when you put the clementine now. There we go. If we peel off the skin, getting rid of jealousy, fear, and wanting other people to like us, or whatever it is that you would think of, ta-da! The clementine can race to the finish line. Thank you so much for your time, Professor. It's been really good to meet you. And now, back to the studio where Mark is waiting in the warm.
What we need to throw aside every weight, as it said, and also the sin it talks about that easily entraps us. And as well as peeling off the things that are unhelpful, we also need to not give in to temptation as well, because temptation, giving in to temptation will be a distraction, also will hinder us in our running as well. And not only sin itself and when we fall into sin, but also the guilt of that as well will just prevent us from running effectively. And so those things, we need to put those things off. We need to not be trapped by the sin that can so easily ensnare us. And so how do we actually move forward? And it is possible. What makes it possible to live our lives to the most effective and run our life well? Well, it says to look to Jesus. It says he is the founder and the perfecter of our faith, which basically means he started it and he will complete it. It was only him giving us faith that we will be able to begin the race. We are able to believe in him in the first place. And it's only by looking to Jesus that we will have the strength to keep going to the end. As we put off the unhelpful stuff, we also need to take on what is helpful as well. Those things of spending time with Jesus, of worship, of prayer and praise, reading the word. You may think to yourself, I can't run. I've been running and I'm exhausted. And you might think, I can't carry on anymore. But actually, we can, because as it says in the Hebrews here, we need to look to Jesus. We need to put off the things that hinder us, and we need to look to Jesus. And it's only through his strength. If we try and do it in our own strength, we will get exhausted. We will run out of energy really, really quickly and not be effective. So we have to look to Jesus. And it says to look to him who went to the cross for us for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. And so we look to him because his joy was that we would come to him, that we would be with him, that we would walk for him and run for him. And as we look to him, we can receive the Holy Spirit, who will strengthen us and empower us to run effectively. So it's only by looking to Jesus. And just on thinking about that, I was thinking sometimes we can approach like prayer and reading the Bible as if it's a chore. They're sometimes talked about as spiritual disciplines, which just make them sound like hard work. But actually, we need to think of it in a different way, don't we? We need to put off the lie that these things are a chore and hard work, because prayer, reading the word, is our chance to draw close to Jesus, to spend time with Jesus, to spend time with our loving Father, and to be encouraged and to be just spurred on in our race for him. That sort of brings me to the conclusion of what I'm saying. As we go into the breakout rooms, there's a couple of things that I want you to consider, really, which I think are probably quite obvious coming out of what I've been talking about. First of all, what are the things that we feel are perhaps weighing us down? What are the things that we struggle with that perhaps we could ask people to help us to pray with us for? Because what I'm intending for the breakout rooms is that we have a chance to share briefly what the things, the struggles that we have, and then a chance to pray for each other. And so what are the things that we feel we need to put off? But also, what things could we be encouraged in? What things do we perhaps struggle with that we want to be able to press forward in more? Whether it's finding time to pray, whether it's being able to sort of get into the Word of God, to have it feed us and encourage us. What things are there that we need to put off? What things are there that we need to put on? And let's share those with one another. Let's encourage one another, and let's look to encourage one another to press on in the race.